It's time to talk Congress now.
Congress is actually off this week for its mid-January break, which has some people wondering, should representatives spend more time getting work done in Washington, or do the breaks allow them to stay grounded in local politics back home?
Also, with President Obama's State of the Union speech coming up next Tuesday, is he going to be able to set the agenda for Congress? Where do proposals on NSA reforms, immigration, and income inequality stand in Congress?
Here with us for our weekly update is Paul Singer. He's the politics and Congress editor at USA Today, and he tweets at Singer News. Paul, great to have you back.
Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so Congress recently returned from a break, as I understand it, at the beginning of January. They're on break again now. And some observers and politicians think, you know, they're gone an awful lot when there's so much work to be done. So why is there? Can you make the case for all the downtime that's built into the schedule?
Yeah, well, I think the obvious reason for the downtime built in the schedule is they say it's not downtime. It is time spent back in the district, working with their constituents on issues, getting to, you know, hear from constituents about things that matter to them. They would make the argument, well, you want us here on the ground in, you know, Madison, Wisconsin, because you want us to be able to hear from you more regularly and you want more access to us. Of course, there really is this tension in American politics, right? On the one hand, we don't want our politicians to become career politicians, people who are beholden to Washington, who spend all their time in Washington. We love to elect outsiders. On the other hand, when they don't go to Washington, we complain that they're goofing off. You know, and so then we argue, well, why aren't you in Washington solving the nation's problems? It is a bit of a double-edged sword. I'm not sure there's a real way for them to win that issue. But they do have, you know, written into their schedules now at least a week a month is recess. But they'll say it's district work period, not recess.
So that's the branding there, and maybe that's exactly what they're doing. There are, the Christian Science Monitor, they had a piece about people who want some reform and about how some of these people look back at what they call the good old days when the representatives, they lived in Washington, they went to all the kids' soccer games together, the same barbecues. And in short, I guess they kind of knew each other. It wasn't fly in, fly out anymore. And you can imagine that the schedule right now with all the recesses could be tough when you're trying to get to a place of bipartisanship.
Yeah, it's possible. I mean, some of that is rose-colored glasses. You know, I mean, the members of Congress who are here, they still are pals. They still get together and, you know, share a beer and stuff. There's a really, particularly for newer members of Congress and particularly for the Republicans, it's a really interesting tension. Because a lot of them, again, they came as outsiders or as Tea Party supported candidates. They don't want to become wedded to Washington, so they choose not to even have a home here in D.C. They sleep in their congressional offices on Capitol Hill.
Really?
Yeah. There's several dozen of them that sleep on cots in their offices, and they leave their family back in the district. Well, I'm not sure that's necessarily a good thing either, right? Because then you're away from your family. You're not doing anything at 11 o'clock on a Wednesday night except sleeping on a cot in your office. If someone calls you up and says, hey, let's go to the bar and get a beer, you're likely to go and irresponsible bad things happen. So it's a tension that the members, particularly incoming members now, have to grapple with. Is do you want to leave your roots really planted in wherever it was you came from? Or do you want to have your family with you and you know, set up some stake in Washington, D.C.?
So it sounds like there's arguments on both sides. Do you see the situation with recesses changing anytime soon, or is this just the way it is now?
Nah, this is the way it is. I mean, this is very much the way it is. I think it's institutionalized. In fact, in the House calendar, they've already put out the whole year's schedule of when we'll be off. So it's very much in the bloodstream here.
And is there evidence that when there are recesses, that Congress is in fact back home, getting in touch with the people in their district?
Well, sure. But there's also evidence that frequently when there are recesses, they are back home making touch with their good friends in Switzerland or Hawaii or some other fun place to go on a congressional delegation. I mean, right now, there's a congressional delegation gone to Davos, Switzerland for the World Economic Forum. You could, again, make the argument that it's important for members of Congress to go hobnob with the sort of intellectual elite on economic affairs, Or you could make the argument that taxpayers have just spent several hundred thousand dollars sending 10 members of Congress over to a highfalutin Swiss resort to basically party.
You know, we have a call. We don't normally take calls during this segment, but let's take this one. We've got Jill joining us from Janesville. Hi, Jill. Jill,
hi,
are you with
I
us?
I just wanted to, yeah, hi. I wanted to comment right away when I heard that there was a feeling that maybe these people weren't working when they're home. My personal experience has been serving on Congressman Ryan's healthcare advisory board, and he goes right from one board meeting after then to ours and then heads to another one. So I can say from my personal experience that I see our congressman work very hard when he's not in D.C. And I believe that he does keep his roots at home so that he can be connected and stay connected.
All right. Well, that's great. It's great to hear from you and to hear that story about Wisconsin. And Paul, that sounds like something that a lot of, I imagine, representatives in Congress would say they do the same. They're working hard.
Yeah.
They're going home, and they're keeping in touch.
And it's very true that, you know, the members were basically ordered in the previous Congress, go back to your district and do these, what they call Congress in your corner, Congress on your corner, I think they called it. You know, go have public events in the district. Let them get to know you. Of course, a lot of those, they also do a lot of fundraising events. There's a book, I will tell you, I teach journalism as well, and there's a book I frequently assign then Congressman Sherrod Brown from Ohio wrote a book about called Congress from the Inside. And he has in there some of his schedule. He's now a senator from Ohio. But he has in there some of his schedule of the weekends he goes home. You know, he's doing a parade on the 4th of July and then the Rotary breakfast, and then he's meeting with constituents. And it's exhausting. Some members will tell you they get more rest and relaxation here on work weeks than they do back in the district.
Well, that's interesting, and it's not something that's going to be changed anytime soon, it sounds like.
So I don't think so.
Let's move on to some actual prospective legislation. There was a report out this morning in the New York Times describing some bipartisanship on immigration between Democrat Esther Olivaria and Republican Rebecca Talent, and some people saying that these two are going to put their heads together and they could be the glue that held immigration reform together. What do you make of that?
Well, sure. I mean, neither one of them is actually a member of Congress. Ms. Talent now is a staffer working for Mr. Boehner, and Ms. Olivaria is working for the White House on these issues. You know, these are the people who will be sort of, you know, working the deal or working to get the deal at some point if they can get that far. But, you know, don't get your hopes up. The first thing that's going to happen is we're waiting for Mr. Boehner to release a basically a set of principles on what should be in an immigration bill coming out of the House. And so here it is, the last week of January, we'll get a set of principles. That's not legislation, that's principles.
Yeah, let's talk about that. Is that unusual, issuing a set of principles in the lead-up to a vote?
Well, I don't know about unusual. I mean, it's not all that unusual for, you know, the party leaders to do stuff like that, say, here are the kind of things we want to get into legislation. I think what's unusual about it is that the Senate already has passed a bill. The House has four or five bills that have passed out of committee already. It seems odd to go back to the principles stage when you're this far down a legislative road. And it raises questions about, well, okay, if you're just issuing principles now, what's that mean for actually developing a bill? And again, in the House, they're less interested in developing a comprehensive bill. They're more interested in doing several pieces of legislation independently that they think are more palatable.
And next Tuesday, another thing on the horizon is President Obama's State of the Union address. How likely is it that he has enough political capital left to set the agenda for Congress?
Well, he definitely has the ability to set the conversation, right? I mean, there is nothing like a State of the Union address to focus the national conversation around key topics. And we think that Obama is going to want to focus the national conversation around, for want of a better word, income inequality issues, like raising the minimum wage, like reinstating unemployment insurance for the long-term unemployed. Those are the kind of issues where he can really focus a bright light in that moment, right? Having the podium and having a big national audience. Now, I'm not sure that means he can actually wrangle a bill through Congress, but he can definitely set the tone for the national discussion. And I think that those are the things you're going to hear quickly then followed up by Democrats in Congress trying to move the unemployment bill that got stuck before they left to try and possibly move something on minimum wage, possibly some other things to, you know, more flexible hours for working mothers kind of things. Things that address that topic, whether or not they pass or not, is a bigger issue. But I think the president certainly has the opportunity to drive the conversation here.
And he did bring a lot of attention to NSA reforms last Friday. Is that something that could be moving through Congress?
Yeah, that will definitely be on the agenda next week. In fact, I believe it's Wednesday the Judiciary Committee will be hearing from Attorney General Eric Holder. I think he's coming up for a hearing on the Justice Department. And I have no doubt this will be a central theme of that conversation, is the NSA reforms, because they do have, you know, now they have some actual reforms recommended by the president, and they're going to have to start moving on trying to implement some of these things, or at least discuss whether they can implement them. Now, keep in mind, we may not hear details about a lot of this stuff because it may be classified. But I think some portions of it, you know, if they can figure out a way to, you know, get the government out of the business of collecting giant databases on all our telephone calls, we'll probably hear about that.
All right, Paul, thank you so much for joining us and keeping us up to date.
Always a pleasure, Veronica. Talk to you again.
We've been speaking with Paul Singer for our weekly Washington Update. He is the politics and Congress editor at USA Today and tweets at Singer News.